Not Here, Chapter 4 of Everyone Is By in the Sky, by Vans 38. It's been a long and nostalgic night, and when the sun rises, it is both too late and far too soon. Jonnet scrambles for the door at the first sight of the goopening, but Gable stays, because Gable always stays. Travis had been different last night, gentle and open, and not making a lick of sense. Gable's not sure if they're ready for it to be over yet. Travis had been so blasé about Dreff's passing that Gable thought it hadn't affected him, but his midnight ramblings implied that it was quite the opposite. He kept speaking as if Dreff was still alive, as if, despite his 200 years on Spear, he didn't quite understand death just yet. It was an insight that Gable hadn't thought they would be afforded. And now that they had, the sight of him strained and yelling as his body transforms stirs a protective feeling in their chest. Travis lies, panting and naked afterward, a thin sheen of sweat on his skin. His body is, thankfully, fully repaired. That seemed unpleasant, Gable observes. Uh-huh, Travis says, still struggling for breath. Where's Jonnet? Conscious, scarpered at the first bone crunch. Travis nods. And the captain? Gable sighs, and not for the first time that night. I've no idea. Disappeared almost as soon as he got here. As I told you, last night. 4 times, Gable says pointedly. Oh, I'm sorry, Travis says, offended, and suddenly very Travis again as he sits up on his elbows to glare at Gable. Did my almost dying offend you? Was it at all inconvenient? Hey, look, that's not what I... And besides, that's no way to thank me after I stayed up all night listening to your gibberish. It was not gibberish. It made perfect sense. You're just too dense to understand the finer elements of my storytelling. Oh, so you do remember last night, Gable bites back. Good to know, because I... But whatever embarrassing moment they were about to tease Travis with suddenly becomes entirely irrelevant when he leans up and presses his lips firmly against theirs. The feeling is so foreign and so unexpected that Gable just sits there, transfixed, as he does so. Travis leans back, looking at Gable quizzically. I'm sorry, was that not what we're doing? What? Gable manages to say, still reeling from the kiss. Travis indicates between them with a finger. Last night, with all of the sappy feelings and stuff, I thought we were just waiting for me to transform for the day so we could bone. Bone? Yeah, was that not what was going on? Gable starts, and then... What? And then... Huh? Oh, Travis says, eyes averted. The damn protective instinct stirs in their chest again at the sight. Gable's not used to hurting Travis because... Normally, Travis can't be hurt. Gable instinctively reaches out and grabs Travis's arm. Wait. You do want to bone? Gable closes their eyes and breathes out their frustration. Would you please stop saying bone? Please, I beg you, just give me a minute here. I am so tired. Gable takes a deep breath, pinches the bridge of their nose, and tries to process this again. So you're saying, last night, that you saved all our lives, yes. Travis, that I heroically, Travis, that with my last breath, I, after that, you idiot, when you came here and you were saying those things about my heroism? No, about you. Gable says with a hint of frustration, because Travis clearly knows what they're angling at and is refusing to show the slightest bit of vulnerability again. About your past and my past and your past lovers. I was trying to get into your pants, yes. Gable folds their arms. So you were much more lucid than you let on. Oh no, I was definitely out of it, he says with amusement. I don't even remember half the things I said. Solid gold, I'm sure. Words of wisdom to be immortalized. Gable recalls them both crying about turtles at 2 a.m. and decides not to mention it. And I assume it was brilliant enough that you fell in love with me, because who wouldn't in that situation, am I right? So I woke up wanting to fuck you. That's like my lasting memory of last night. Fuck Gable. In a sexy way, he adds. Not the usual way where I want you to fuck off. Gee, thanks, Gable mutters numbly. The word fuck out of Travis's mouth is having far more effect on their body than they anticipated, and Gable shuffles inconspicuously to dampen any arousal. Come on, Travis whines, dragging the words out in an absolutely filthy manner. He throws his head back, elongating his naked body, still slick with sweat from the transformation. I'm alive and I'm horny and I want to celebrate. If you don't wanna, I'll go find someone who actually appreciates this fine offer. Gable swallows and looks away, suddenly thirsty. It's then that their eyes fall on a familiar sight. The spooky butlers may have removed the blood, but they can't remove the memory. I'm not betting you in the same room where Dref died. Travis sags, and Gable briefly wonders if he's actually started processing his death. Until they turn back and see Travis pouting, not mourning. He gestures vaguely to the spot where he died. You can barely see— No, Travis. Travis squints, and it's immediately suspicious. But you will fuck me, he seeks to clarify. Just not here. Gable swears under their breath as they realize, belatedly, that's more or less exactly what they said. That's not exactly. Travis has captured their lips again. Gable's exasperated sigh is smothered on its release. Gable wants to be mad. They want to feel that familiar annoyance at the very least. But Travis's lips are warm and urgent and inviting, and as they start to move against their lips, another more dangerous feeling takes root. Gable wants to indulge. It's been years. It's been more than years. But Gable raises their large palm to Travis's soft hair. Travis moans and licks his tongue into their mouth. Gable lets Travis pull them down until their bodies are pressed tight against each other. Gable feels a heat build in their groin. They want. Yes. Yes, Travis gasps, and Gable doesn't even realize to what until they see teeth marks on his neck and feel every inch of skin against theirs and realizes that their passion has taken over sense. They pushed Travis to his back and ravished him, for a lack of a better word. He doesn't look offended, though. The deep blush on his cheeks and his chest, bites and bruises along his body, spit and blood dripping from his grinning mouth. Sorry, I... Travis grabs Gable's open shirt and pulls them back down to him, swallowing their concerns with his mouth. Fine. Travis doesn't mind. They both still want, but still not here. Gable whispers. Travis whines, but before he can protest, Gable has him over their shoulder and is marching them across the deserted hallway and into the storage cupboard opposite. Seriously, Gable, there was a bed in there. Shut up, Gable murmurs, and miraculously, Travis does. This is good. Dark. Cramped. The adrenaline-filled tryst it should be. Nothing meaningful can be attached to this. No room for ghosts. Gable's shirt hangs from their shoulders, pulled apart by Travis's urgent fingers, but neither of them have patience for the breeches, only loosened enough for the changeling's curious fingers to wrap around their penis. Travis moans as he moves his hand teasingly against their genitalia. Seems I'm not disappointed. Gable groans. Whether annoyed at the comment or pleased by the intimate touch, they're not sure. Exactly how many nights did you lie awake, wondering what lay beneath my breeches? Enough, Travis says casually, before kicking a box out of his way and falling to his knees to envelop it. Pleasure short-circuits their brain, so it takes a minute for Gable to understand the words Travis is murmuring against their sensitive skin. He wants it in him. Are you sure? Gable asks, still half-convinced that this is a very lucid dream. You're still recovering, and I'm... Huge, yes, I noticed. I want it in me, Travis says, leaving no room for disagreement. Trust me, I can take it. Briefly, Gable wonders what experience over his 200 years on Earth has prepared him for such a thing, and then they decide that they really don't want to know. Is it a changeling thing? No, gross. They really don't want to know. Okay, Gable says, leaning in and kissing him again, with such force that they trip over some boxes and topple into the adjacent wall. Travis groans at the impact, but before Gable can ask if he's okay, he's rubbing a certain part of his anatomy very purposefully against Gable's. Or trying to, anyway. But the height difference is really hampering him. So Gable leans down and scoops him up. Travis immediately gets with the program and wraps his legs around Gable's waist, pushing their groins together as they rut against the wall. With one too enthusiastic movement, Gable is pushing at his entrance. Travis makes a sound so pornographic, his nails digging delightfully into their shoulders, that Gable decides enough is enough and leans forward to test the tension. Travis is right, though. His body is as open and warm now as his voice was last night. And Gable can't help but sink into it. Swears and moans and gasps sound from both of them as Gable slides in. Travis somehow takes inch after inch, and when Gable's fully seated, his face twists as if he's somewhere between pleasure and pain. Are you... Don't even think of asking me if I'm okay. And then gasps as he moves incrementally. I'm... So good. Now turn off that dumb angel brain and ravish me again. I don't want to walk right for a week. Gable frowns because that's really not what they want to do, but then they move their hips and suddenly their dumb angel brain really does go offline and their body takes over once more. They pound into Travis until even the wall behind them starts to crack. Their lips are swollen from biting kisses. His fingernails scratch painfully against their back. Travis makes noises that are much too loud, but when Gable tries to smother his moans with their hand, he just bites it and licks it and sucks one finger into his mouth. It's an embarrassingly short time before Gable is burying their neck into his shoulder and spilling their seed inside him with a muffled shout. Thankfully, Travis isn't far behind, and Gable even manages to capture his final filthy moans in a sloppy kiss. They slump against each other, catching their breath. Daddy's gonna be so disappointed in us. Huh? Travis tilts his head towards their surroundings as he carefully disentangles from Gable. Ah. Smashed boxes everywhere. Wooden bookshelves broken. A definite crack in the wall behind them. The broker can handle it, Gable says, not having the brain power to calculate the damages they're likely to be charged as they attempt to lace their breeches back up with clumsy, slick fingers. Well, Travis says, scooping to pick up some sort of fruit from a shattered crate and tossing it casually in the air before catching it again. Thanks for a good time. be seeing you around. He's out the door, butt naked, before Gable even looks up from their breeches. Gable sighs and reaches for the remains of their shirt, which had apparently found its way onto a pile of strewn bed linens. Their back twinges at the movement. Gable winces and reaches for the damage, surprised to find actual blood on their fingertips when they withdraw. They don't normally bleed, but apparently a changeling's desperate fingernails can cut through their thick skin. Curious, they lick the blood on their fingertips. It tastes like nothing else ever has. Gable already feels the marks healing on their back, taking with them the only other evidence of this past night. Gable stares at the closed door, wondering why the notion of a blank slate fills them with the strangest sorrow.